Dinsdale Landon in Hector's Fixed Idea. Scenes from the Life and Absurd Times of Hector Berlioz by Bruce Stewart, with Elizabeth Bell as Harriet Smithson, Peter Woodthorpe as Rossini, and Clive Swift as Liszt. Hector's Fixed Idea.
If you please, monsieur, pause here. This door. So, this morning, at the Hospice de la Pitié, we commence our course in practical anatomy. You who will one day be surgeons, cutting away diseased organs from the living, will first learn your business by dissecting the bodies of the dead. Open the door, Monsieur Berlioz.
Oz, Monsieur le Professeur, Oz.
Your pardon, monsieur.
I'm sorry, but the name is Berlioz. German in origin. The family has lived in Savoy for generations, of course, but it is pronounced Berlioz.
Extraordinary. The door, monsieur, the door. The dead await us. For the most part, as you will perceive, these are the bodies of unfortunates who have died in the streets of Paris. Some of starvation, some of absence. Here is one plainly taken from the waters of the Seine. Observe the grossly swollen flesh, rich purple colorings. Something is the matter, Monsieur Berlioz.
Oz. The stench, Monsieur le Professeur. The rats.
Oh, I agree. There are indeed a great number of rats this morning. They come up from the sewers. Shoo them away from our cadavers, monsieur, or they will destroy our morning's work. And now I shall demonstrate the amputation of the lower leg. Hold the knife firmly in the right hand. Thus. Insert into the flesh below the knee joint. Cut deep and clean. Anxious to try your hand, Monsieur Berlioz? Very well. You shall demonstrate the use of the saw. Follow the cut of the knife. Now, saw strongly. And fast. Faster! The joint should be severed with as much expedition as possible, Monsieur Berlioz.
He
has fainted, but it is absurd. His conduct is as eccentric as his use of the French language. Shoo the rats once more, monsieur. Keep them away from our bodies. Depart. Be gone.
Madame, a sou to buy bread with. My family has nothing. My children starve. For the love of the Holy
Virgin. So I'm clearly not suited to surgery, Charbonnel. Not in the least. What on earth am I to do?
You don't intend to go back to the Hospice de la Pitié?
I can't. Chucked out, old comrade. No, it wasn't just the fact that I couldn't stand the sight of blood. Not the most diligent of students all round, you see.
Your mind too much on other things, like music?
Perhaps.
Well, it's a problem, I can see. At least studying pharmacy, I don't have to worry about my reaction to sawn-up corpses. There's your family to be considered.
Oh, my father, you mean? Oh, yes, my poor father. He's always wanted me to be a doctor, like himself.
Yet Savoy's a long way away, Hector, and Paris is a city of excitement, gaiety, opportunity.
Monsieur.
Oh,
monsieur,
be off with you.
Leave
us alone.
Give her the sou.
What?
Well, you've got it, haven't you?
Well, damn your eyes, you've got it.
No, I spent my last sou on lunch. And your father always provided for you better than mine. As students go, you're privileged.
You go for bread, monsieur. Only a sou for bread.
Here, take a franc. Oh. Don't buy yourself the bakery.
Oh. A franc? Bless you, monsieur.
Now, what the devil's all this about, Hector?
And all the sense reports.
We're trying to make trouble between us. We've shared rooms happily for over a year now. But if it's suddenly in your mind that
I'm sorry, Chapelle. Forgive me, Anna. Well, I shouldn't have spoken like that.
Charbonnel, this is 1825. The revolution is over a quarter of a century old. Yet the people still starve and we have a king again. A king who's an imbecile to boot. Utterly controlled by that toad, that puppet master Polignac, whose concern for France hardly merits the name of... What's that?
What's what?
That noise.
Dear old Sans-Culotte, you're not asking me, are you? That's the opera across the road. They must be rehearsing tonight's music.
Music? Whatever that noise is, it is not music.
If you please, monsieur. Pause just there. Please. Yes, well, we seem to have a cue for bassoons in the score there. Do we happen to have any bassoons? No, of course not. Well, put it on the strings then, will you? Yes, the strings will do. Cellos, will you take the phrase, please?
Sacrament!
Yes, no doubt, but what was that? What? Monsieur Lestier, did you speak?
No, monsieur, then I did not.
Well, somebody did. Somebody out there in the theatre. Somebody said...
Blasphemy!
Yes, that was it. I rather thought that...
How in the world, Monsieur Habeck, can you have the effrontery to give to the cellos what Weber, a composer of grace and taste, has given to the bassoon?
Who is this fellow?
You are the director of the opera. You have a responsibility to musical genius of which there is so pitifully little in our age. You have the obligation to uphold musical standards.
What's all this about? Monsieur,
Monsieur, it's nothing to do with me. How did you get in here, young man? And who are you?
One who weeps when Orpheus strokes his lyre, monsieur. Threshes about in agony when subjected to the dismal twanging that passes for music in Paris today. A dismal twanging made worse, it seems, by every new performance conducted by Monsieur Habeck. Is it his ambition utterly to destroy music in our time?
Oh, get out of my theater! Go away!
Are we so debauched? Are we so debauched that we can no longer distinguish beauty from ugliness? Right notes from wrong? Dare we put up with cellos where bassoons are prescribed?
For goodness sake, this is idiocy! What are you complaining of?
Loose behavior! Loose thinking! Also, by the way, with vile orchestral balance. You're overweighted in the strings and your brass can't tell double F from double P. There's a lot wrong.
But in this particular case, we have no choice. The opera cannot afford bassoons. They're extremely expensive.
Well, then the race cannot afford great art, monsieur. France cannot afford the revolution. The world cannot afford...
Remove him at once! Yes. The incompetent brass section will kindly take the intruder and eject him from the theatre.
No, no! Lay gentle hands on your instruments, not violent ones on me.
Letter F, gentlemen, from the bassoon. That is to say, the cello entry.
The revolution! You're betraying the revolution!
If you please, gentlemen, silence! Letter F.
Cards! Cheaters! Oh, yes! You may manhandle me, but can you finger the horn passages in Gluck?
Right. In a foul puddle. Now, was that necessary? Was that fraternal?
Instrumentalist should not victimize composer. Well, I'm glad you find it amusing, monsieur.
What's your name? I'm Charles Lesueur. I very much enjoyed your performance inside. I simply had to come out and see how it ended.
Performance?
Hector Berlioz. The Z is pronounced.
And you're a composer, you say?
Did I?
Oh, perhaps I misunderstood. You seem to be saying so very much one way and another. What have you written?
Well, nothing that would be performed within that temple of mediocrity from which I've just been ejected. Or at any rate, performed well.
You seem very convinced of that.
I am convinced that musicianship is at its lowest ebb ever in France, yes. I am convinced that the revolution has failed.
The revolution?
Yes.
Forever, completely?
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. It isn't only you youngsters who can respond to the spirit of revolution, you know. Oh, dear me, no. I have experienced some things at first hand that you could only know about by hearsay. The flame and the passion, the high beauty.
The fixed idea.
What is the fixed idea?
Something that through my work I propose to reveal to the world, monsieur. The heart of the flame, the core of passion, art and revolution. Celestial twins like Castor and Pollux.
Bless my soul.
Eternally linked. Shaking down the heavens, renewing the earth.
You know, if you compose half as well as you perform, you really might have something to offer our enfeebled age. Can I see one of your scores?
It would interest you, Monsieur Lesueur.
Perhaps I should warn you that I am a tutor at the Conservatoire.
Ah. Well, in that case...
But allow me to buy you wine, Monsieur Berlioz.
Oz.
I beg your pardon?
The name... is Berlioz. The family has always insisted on the final Z.
How very singular.
Chicken.
Oh, well, chicken or not, I've got my reputation to consider. Oh, eh?
Yes.
Oh, that Madame LaPlante, as I work for, if she was to hear...
Oh, stop, Annelle!
Not just now, Hector. Busy, old comrade.
Well, at least shut the door. I'm trying to work.
Write music, you mean? While the rest of the world makes love.
Oh, I'll be ruined if this goes on.
Oh, bless me, Hector. You take your new preoccupation seriously enough, don't you? Yet lift your eyes from the furrow a moment, old ploughman. Can't you see the world is full of attractive prospects?
Oh, attractive prospects as will rue the day they ever met Monsieur Charbonnel. I just know.
What a rare dressing's in store for you, my tender bird.
Oh, someone save me from the oven. Will you save me, Monsieur Berlioz?
Oz.
Eh?
Oh.
Stop beating yourself over the head with the double bass, Hector. Find yourself a nice, juicy fowl like Nanette. Hey?
Oh, help! I'm about to be basted.
Oh, more than basted.
A juicy fowl. No. No juicy fowls for me. But there's always been a girl, Charbonnel. Oh, yes. There's always been Estelle. How old was I when I first saw her? 10? 12? She came to my home, La Côte Saint-André. Some feast, some holiday. Her smile was the summer sun. Her eyes, the clear blue skies over Savoy. And she wore... Oh, God, how clearly I remember. She wore... pink boots. A dance. A dance in the village square.
The men permitted to choose whatever partners they wished from among the women. I chose Estelle.
What? You want me to dance with you, little Hector? Me with you?
Yes, Estelle. With you. With Estelle of the pink boots. Oh, how we whirled, how we swayed. I have never danced before that day. I cannot dance now, but then, that day...
Why, what partners we make, little Hector? How easily we move. We could dance right over the high hills there, across the mountains, to Grenoble.
Oh, to Grenoble, Estelle.
Beyond, Paris.
To Paris. Oh, oh, Estelle of the pink boots. How shall I tell you of my love for you? How shall I explain how I worship you? I am at your feet. You are divine. You are superb. You are... Harriet! Harriet Smithson! Oh, there has never been acting like it.
Hurrah! Encore!
Isn't this here? Have you ever seen such an Ophelia?
Miss Smithson is very good, certainly.
Very good? Why, she's a goddess, a queen of the sex. Harriet, you Chardonnay, don't you love her?
Oh, yes, she's wonderful. Oh, but these English actresses should know how to perform Shakespeare. He's their national poet, after all.
Look, the audience is lighting the stage. Oh, I'm going with them. I must go to her.
Come back, Hector. You can't presume to. Stop him, someone else.
Stop him?
At once, Hector.
Can one stop the Seine in full flood, Monsieur Monsieur? The spring bursting out of the hedgerows. I very much fear our good friend Hector is smitten. Yes, utterly, undeniably smitten.
Yes?
Oh, Miss Smithson, I come to offer humble adoration, despite earnest endeavours since dawn. However, I find that Paris does not contain flowers enough to lay at your feet. Making do with what is to be had, therefore...
Dear God! The corridor is full of flowers. Where did all these flowers come from?
Oh, merely a carpet to grace your passage between dressing room and stage, Miss Smithson. If you will trample them in my name...
Hundreds of flowers? Who will clean them up? What do you want? Who are you?
A Hector Bellioz, Miss Smithson. Oz, the Z is pronounced. A poor musician, your abject slave.
Get out of my dressing room. I'm busy. I have no time to talk to
you. Oh, but soft, the fair Ophelia. Nymph. In thy orisons be all my sins remembered.
Help!
Was there ever such loveliness, such perfection of feature?
Help! There's a madman here!
Oh, forgive my paltry tribute, Miss Smithson. Do not reject me because I come to you empty-handed.
Get out!
Reflect, rather.
Get out!
What's the matter, coachman? Why have you stopped?
Gentleman in the road, mademoiselle, lying down.
What?
Be merciful to me, Ophelia. Hear my impassioned cry. Smile, son of my heaven.
Monsieur Berlioz.
Oz.
Now, you stop this, do you hear me? It's impossible. Get up out of that and let me pass at once.
Not till you relent, Miss Smithson. Not till you permit me to praise your charms as only they deserve, and as only I can.
Drive on, coachman. Drive on.
Straight over the gentleman, you mean?
Oh, turn round. Go the other way.
Just as you say, mademoiselle. Hep! Hep!
Ah, was Helen thus cruel to Paris? Dido to Aeneas? Over my prostrate form, Miss Smithson. Show me no quarter. Destroy me. For the last time, I beg you.
Now, you leave me alone, Monsieur Bellioz. Keep away. I don't know how you got to this reception this evening, but had I known that you would be here, I would have stayed away. Now, is that clear? Is that as plain in French as it seems to be in English?
But I adore you. I am your slave.
Slavery has been abolished. Cease following me about, Monsieur, and stop attending my performances in the theatre. You've been almost every night for weeks. For my soul, the play isn't that good.
Are you telling me that you spurn me, then? Reject my protestations?
I am telling you that my life is perfectly full and happy as things are. I have my mother and sister here in Paris with me. And apart from that, there is my work. My work entirely fulfills me, monsieur. I live for my work.
But, Harriet...
Don't call me that. I will not endure your attentions a moment longer. Now, do you understand? Goodbye, Monsieur Berlioz. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thus, Isolde parts from Tristan. I'm sorry.
What is to be done for a poor Frenchman who has had the stupidity to fall in love with an English woman?
We are acquainted, madame.
Mademoiselle, they're such a cold race, the English.
I understand the lady is Irish, mademoiselle.
Oh, that's even chillier. Did you like the melody I played, monsieur?
You play very beautifully, mademoiselle.
It was a work by Schubert, very delicate, not bold and brave like your Waverley overture.
The Waverley? You've heard it?
Yes, Monsieur Berlioz. I know your music. Franc Juge, that extraordinary mass for Innocence Day.
Oh, mademoiselle.
I am Camille Mauck. I copy and arrange music for some of our leading composers.
I'm flattered, Mademoiselle Mauck, but you do me too much honor. My career has hardly begun. I've entered for the Prix de Rome this year. But perhaps if I win that and get a scholarship to study in the Eternal City, well, then we shall see.
We've only just met, Monsieur Berlioz, and you talk of going away?
You play very beautifully, Mademoiselle Mauck.
Yes. Yes, I expect I do. It isn't the only thing I do well, of course. Some of our leading composers have discovered that. Permit me to introduce my protector, Monsieur Pleyel.
Protector? Where?
Why, there in the armchair, asleep. Gustave?
What was that, my dear? A new jest, did you say?
Permit me to introduce Monsieur Berlioz, the composer.
Composer? Oh, very proper. Yes, I manufacture pianos, monsieur, so I'm always glad to meet composers. Yes. Yeah, but we live in troubled times, eh? Troubled times.
If you're speaking of the four ordinances issued yesterday, yes, they will bring that villain Polignac down at long last, I thank God. And the mad king will topple with him.
The mad king? Oh, dear me, you mustn't use expressions like that.
Charles X is only fit for an asylum, monsieur player.
Hush! Why do you talk politics at so late an hour? Don't you see it quite disturbs my poor protector's rest?
Troubled times. Oh, indeed, troubled times. Composers, splendid fellows as long as they stick to music, but politics... Hear me.
Poor Monsieur Pleyel. The manufacture of pianos is extremely tiring work. It isn't only at night that he feels the need to restore his energies, but also every afternoon between the hours of 2 and 4... It is then, by a curious coincidence, that I find myself most active.
You do, mademoiselle.
Copying and arranging scores, Monsieur Berlioz.
Who would have thought of anything else?
You are engaged on a new work at the present time, no doubt.
But of course.
With which you would appreciate professional aid and support.
Camille!
Hector! Oh, Hector!
Camille, you are divine! You are a goddess.
You are one of our leading composers.
You are the sun, the stars.
You are Bach. You are Haydn.
You are the fixed idea, the spirit of revolution. Oh, Camille.
Hector.
Camille.
Are you all right?
What on earth is happening, Charles? I was working on my score when suddenly the window shattered.
France has risen. All Paris flocks to the barricades.
What?
Polignac has fallen. Lafayette has prevailed. Frenchmen will endure tyranny no longer.
It is the revolution. The revolution has risen from the grave.
Triumphantly. Come, Hector, to the barricades.
Chabanel! You here too!
The flagpole! Look! The flagpole!
Fleur-de-Lis is being stripped down.
Oh, Anne Camille, you at my side. Oh, I am reborn.
The tricolor rises.
Hurrah for Lafayette! Louis-Philippe!
Louis-Philippe, the people's king! But wait, isn't that my music they're playing?
Yes, my darling, my leading composer, my champion of the liberties of Frenchmen, your music.
But they have the tempo wrong, the fools! I must go and instruct the conductor.
Lafayette!
Allegro alla manca! But the world is changed, France is saved, the revolution lives!
Along, Hector. Time's getting on.
Oh, but Charles, honestly, I'm not sure that I want to meet him.
Don't be ridiculous. Gioacchino Rossini is the most celebrated and popular musician in Europe at the present time. He's also a very old friend of mine. You have just won the Prix de Rome and are about to leave for Italy. It's only sense that you should meet him while he is in Paris. His hotel is down this way. He may not be out of bed, of course.
Well, not at noon.
Rossini has always maintained he writes his best music in bed. Consequently, he is a late riser.
Now, let's start to the next page. Where is it?
Signor Rossini, Monsieur Charles Lesser, and Monsieur Hector Berlioz.
Gioacchino! Oh, but how good it is to see you again!
Hello! Caro, carissimo, you fill the heart of Rossini with joy. But can you see the next page of my overture?
We weren't expecting you in Paris till next week, I thought, when your new opera opens.
The new opera of Rossini, William Tell, will not open at all unless the next page of my overture can be found. Look on the floor, young man, eh?
The floor, signor?
Under the bed, behind the pillows everywhere, eh?
Is this it?
Grazie, grazie. No. No, that is not it. That is, Mirabile. This is the aria which Arnold sings to Matilda in Act One, Sissi. Rossini lost it yesterday under the bed. This is the young man of great talent, it is plain, eh? He is the composer of whom you write to Rossini, Carlo?
Hector Berlioz.
I'm honored and privileged, Signor Rossini.
Rossini tells you all about music. Last week, the municipality of Lucerne, it says to Rossini, it wishes to erect a statue to him at the cost of 20,000 francs. Rossini says, for that kind of money, he will go and stand there himself. What else do you need to know about music, eh?
Would you be so gracious as to look at this score of mine, signor?
Allora, the fantastic symphony?
It is program music, signora. Uh-huh. A kind of fantasy. The music conveys the thoughts and feelings of the revolutionary artist portrayed in love.
Revolutionary artist?
Yes.
See, Rossini likes this. William Tell was also revolutionary. First movement. Reveries and passion, sir. And this is your theme here, huh?
Yes.
Praia. It is good.
The artist ponders life and time, and then he is distracted by the pleasures and follies of the world.
And so the second movement, a ball. Ah, but here we have a dance rhythm, d'accord? A waltz?
Yes.
Tra la 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 la
la la la la la la la la la la
la la la la la la Ah, Beethoven here, no, it is the influence of Beethoven.
Well, I can hardly deny
him. Fourth movement, march to the scaffold. Tremendous.
Well, here the artist is rejected by the hostile multitude and hounded to his death.
Brim pum 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 brim pa dum pa dum pa dum pa ni da jum dum jum dum da jum da 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 da. The work gets more and more clever as it goes along. Fifth movement. The witch's Sabbath.
In a Philistine world, the artist is a damned soul. Thus the horrors of hell rise up to afflict him.
And you use dies irae here, Sissy. Dies yes. Irae, huh?
Yes. Yes.
La, 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 la. Allora, Rossini needs to examine this work no more, to know that it is a work of such originality and invention as he has never encountered before.
Oh, signore, signore.
You mean it, Gioacchino?
Formidabile. Incredibile. Yet, there is only one thing, you know, Carlo, carissimo.
Yes?
What a pity it isn't music.
Hector? Hector, you're not dozing.
Oh, Felix. It's you.
Bless my soul, Hector, this won't do. We who hail from the industrious north mustn't fall victim to indolent southern habits. Under a shady Roman pine, your score laid out before you and fast asleep. Would they believe it in Paris?
Would they believe it in Hamburg? And I told them how much of his scholarship time Mendelssohn spends visiting Roman churches and ruins.
Ah, but it is from these things that I draw my inspiration. Rome is a remarkable city. I can go into St. Peter's day after day and never be tired of it. Only the other morning I wept tears simply for being there again.
At St. Peter's?
Yes.
Yet you're not a Catholic, Felix.
Everybody is a Catholic in Rome.
Mm. I often weep tears in St. Peter's, too. But that's rather more extraordinary, perhaps, since I am not even a believer.
In spite of your mass, Hector, these themes that interest you, it's meant a great deal to me as a composer meeting you, you know.
And to me meeting you. We were simply fortunate both to win scholarships to Rome at the same time, I suppose.
Yes. Yet, I sometimes wonder...
What?
Your imagination. Is it too rich, Hector? Your ideas seem to carry you away sometimes. It's as though you're transported, unable to distinguish between art and life anymore.
Oh, nonsense. I'm rather a phlegmatic fellow underneath the surface.
I have even asked myself if you truly have the talent to accommodate your own genius.
Is that a compliment or a rebuke?
I don't know. Oh, I forgot this.
A letter?
From Paris. It's the reason I came to find you, of course. It was in the rack at the villa.
Why? It's from Camille.
Your lady love?
Oh, my inspiration, Felix. Oh, how I miss her. The joy of my heart. The light of my life.
She sounds remarkable.
She is. Camille.
Dear Hector, this letter is to tell you that after long and careful thought, I have decided to marry my protector, Monsieur Pleyel.
Hector, what's the matter?
Better to say this at once, my darling, and be merciful. Life is often cruel, and love more cruel than life.
Minx! Chollop!
Goodness, is it bad news? You've gone quite pale.
How could she? To turn to that piano salesman.
By the time this letter reaches you, I shall probably already have married. I wonder, will you understand?
Understand? How should I?
Remembering your passion, your quick nature, I think not, my sweetheart. You will say your Camille has betrayed you. Has betrayed love.
Love? No. It's incredible. Impossible. More than flesh and blood can endure.
Hector, what on earth are
you... I will not stand for it. I will not support it. Oh, faithless. Oh, heartless. You have not heard the last of this, Camille.
For the love of heaven, man, what's happened? Where are you going, Hector? Hector, my friend!
Pistols. There must be pistols. Two.
loaded. I shall return to Paris and kill Pleyel. He will manufacture no more pianos. Then I shall kill the perfidious Camille. Her career among leading musicians is finished. It is right. Just.
Ecco, Chiqui. Due pistola, signore. 500 lire.
Grazie.
Now, disguise. I must have a disguise. To avoid detection. To travel incognito. Yet what disguise?
You wish a dress, you say, signore?
A dress, quite. With, full skirts. Like that one in the window.
But the size. It is for il signore's wife, perhaps?
No. The signor has no wife.
Ah, forgive me. Capisco.
On the contrary, you don't understand at all. The signor has no fille de joie, no attachment of any sort.
In a moment you will be telling me the dress is for il signore himself.
Exactly.
That dress in the window?
Or one like it. The important thing is that I shouldn't look the least bit odd. Will it be suitable, do you think?
Ma certamente. Signore will look charming in blue. Of course.
Civi de Vecchia, Livorno. What an endless road it is. Genoa. When do we reach Genoa? And then the Alps. France.
Ah, we are stopping here.
Why have we stopped?
It is a customs post, Madame. Livorno.
I suppose we must all alight here, Signora.
I do not wish to alight. Why can't we push on?
Buonasera, signore, signore.
Buonasera.
Capitan Ciccolini, at your service. Permit me to assist you to alight, signore.
I do not desire to alight, Captain. I merely...
Pistols!
Oh, sir.
From under her skirts! Pistols!
Allora! Oh. Why, that's no woman at all. That woman is
a French spy.
Oh. And Ciccolini has apprehended him.
Help! To think I've traveled all these miles with something in skirts that is not a woman.
Signora, do not think.
Let me out of this.
Come back.
No!
Halt! Signora. Halt or I fire! You hear me, spy? Ciccolini! Crack a shot of the custom service! We'll fire! So, monsieur, we will go over the matter yet again.
Oh, please. Haven't we gone over it quite enough now?
Ciccolini will probe the truth at last. You understand? You are French. You don't deny it.
If I hadn't stumbled into a ditch, you wouldn't even have caught me again.
You are not a woman. You confess it.
And what makes you think you're a crack shot with a pistol? I heard a screech in the trees above me. I imagine you killed an owl.
You were armed to the teeth. Kindly convince yourself that this is a serious business, monsieur. Answer the questions of Ciccolini or rot in our prison here as long as the wall shall stand.
Very well. I suppose I've got to tell you the truth. But under protest...
Eccellente! Ciccolini has finally broken him. Note his words, comrade. Note his words.
It's like this. My sweetheart in Paris wrote to me saying that she intended to marry her elderly admirer. I thought that I should return and shoot her for her faithlessness and the admirer because, well, he really is very elderly. I dressed as a woman because I hoped in that way to look less like an avenging lover thirsty for blood.
Santa Maria.
That is your explanation of events?
Yes.
But it is like something out of an opera.
Perhaps. As it happens, I am by trade a composer of music.
Cosa?
My name is Hector Berlioz.
Berlioz? You
for Hector Berlioz?
Yes.
Who has written the Fantastic Symphony?
You know the Fantastic Symphony.
Under the domination of Faust, the soldiers march of rump.
How very kind of you to like it.
Why, it's a magnificent. It's a superb. Oh, I apologize, Monsieur Berlioz. What a fools we have been to delay you. Give him back his epistle.
Oh, but Captain.
It's a remarkable that a man such as you comes to this humble customs post, monsieur. It's fortuitous.
You could not be aware of the fact, but I, too, write the music. It is so. I am working on an opera in my spare time that will no doubt interest you. I have some of the themes here.
Captain Ciccolini, I...
Now, this most appealing aria, Adagio Cantabile. Moving, is it? Well,
I'm really not in a position to.
And here, a faster piece of zinger. Presto in tre.
Please, I can't really.
If you wish yourself to use any of these themes, I would be happy to permit you, caro signor.
Savoy. I pass through Savoy again, where I was born, where a part of me must always live on, where I am now but a pilgrim. The world changes, the world remains the same. I weep for the hills and the skies that are no longer truly mine. I weep for my father's house. I weep for Estelle. Estelle of the Pink Boots.
Oh, Hector. Little Hector. Do you choose me, Hector?
Oh, yes, Estelle. Yes, I choose you. Then, now, forever.
Then we shall dance over the high hills together. We shall swing out over the whole world, crying our joy and our love.
Then are you truly there, Estelle?
Come, little Hector, bravely, fearlessly, together.
Estelle, touchstone of my loneliness. Oh, my love, my dear, my Estelle of the Pink Boots. Shall I never find you again?
Miss Smithson. Miss Harriet Smithson.
Yes?
I see you don't remember me. I am...
Oh, but of course. It's Hector Berlioz, isn't it? The composer.
May I come in?
Oh, yes. Yes, come in.
Forgive me for calling on you like this, Miss Smithson.
Won't you sit down?
Thank you. But I have been out of France for quite some time, in Italy. A friend told me that you were now living in the Rue Neuve Saint-Marc. On an impulse, I decided to call.
Yes, this is where I live these days, monsieur. This is what I've come to.
Please, I didn't mean...
Your name, on the other hand, seems to be on every lip in Paris, Hector Berlioz. I am still an actress, you know, very much in demand. It's simply that I can't find anything suitable. I have to turn down roles all the time.
I'm sure.
They're in pantomime, you see, at the Nouveautés, that kind of thing. After you've played Shakespeare... Well, you don't want to lower standards.
You never returned to England, then?
No. No, there was nothing there for me anymore.
I see. I know what you mean about standards, anyway. I, too, have had to strive against the artistically heathen, the money changers, the incompetence, all those Philistines under other names who, for one reason or another, so clutter up our profession. I am temporarily applauded by Paris, but who knows? Tomorrow morning I may be kicked out into the gutter again.
Oh, monsieur.
It happened to me once at the opera. Yet do you know, only the other day old Habneck down there was offering to conduct a concert of my works. Oh, it's ironic. Louis Philippe, the people's king, has captured the hearts of the French people. The ideas of Saint-Simon make the revolutionary artist respectable for a brief moment. Yet how long will it last?
You've turned cynical, Monsieur Belliot.
You never knew me well enough before.
I was very arrogant in those days, I expect.
I wouldn't say that, Miss Smithson. Are you in trouble?
I beg your pardon?
Financial trouble.
What makes you ask that?
You have a certain familiar anxiety about you. Well, a bourgeois would notice nothing, but a fellow artist can spot the symptoms at 100 places.
It's simply, well, my mother is ill.
Oh.
And, of course, my sister is unable to keep herself. She's deformed, did you know? A hunchback.
No, I didn't know that.
Both depend on me entirely. Oh, Monsieur Berlioz, what am I to do? I can't appear on those cheap displays at the Nouveautés. They're debasing, humiliating.
Well, of course, Miss Smithson. I understand.
Yet where is the money to come from? I even owe the rent for this apartment. The concierge has said I must find what is needed by the end of the month or leave.
Oh, no, please, try not to worry.
Try not to worry? Not to worry? What am I to do?
You could always marry me.
What?
Marry me.
What makes you think...
I'm serious. I have money coming in these days. I've taken up musical journalism as well as composing, you know. It pays quite well.
You're as mad as you ever were.
Do you think my devotion to you is any less? Did you think it false from the beginning, in fact? No. No. I remain deeply in love with you. Throughout my long exile, hardly a day has gone by when I haven't thought passionately of you. Oh, Miss Smithson, Harriet, why on earth do you think I've returned to France, if not for your hand?
You are mad. Yes. Any time I have in charity thought that perhaps you were merely eccentric, I was misguided. You are quite mad. You are dangerous.
Are you saying that you won't marry me?
Of course not. Now get out of this apartment. Go away. I'll survive somehow.
I shan't.
What?
If you won't marry me, I'll poison myself. From this bottle. But you see, I have come prepared. This bottle contains a swift-acting poison. Say, you will be my wife, or I shall swallow it. Very well. Take the consequences. Oh, my God.
Stop! Don't! I'll marry you, but don't take poison.
Too late. Fool that I am. Some water. Salted water.
But I...
You don't understand. This bottle was meant to contain only a harmless liquid. I planned merely to impress you.
What?
But I must have got the bottles mixed up. This is poison. Oh, it is here. Folly.
Oh, help.
I must throw it up. A finger down my throat.
Forgive me. Oh, he's mad.
Salted water.
A lunatic. I'm closeted with a raving lunatic.
Salted water. Oh, no. Oh, God.
Why should such a violent maniac be visited upon me?
Yes, well, that seems perfectly satisfactory, Monsieur Berlioz.
Oh, sir.
You will compose a requiem to the memory of General Don Raymond, recently killed in Algeria, for the sum of 3,000 francs. This fee to be paid on completion of the work. The requiem will be performed at the Invalides next March, all costs likewise to be met by the Minister of the Interior. We are agreed?
Quite agreed, Monsieur Count.
Splendid, splendid. It's good to get the matter settled.
I'm very grateful to you. Commissioned work, well, that means more to a composer than perhaps you realize. Mm-hmm. Particularly one like myself, who has only just become a father.
Oh, indeed?
My son, Louis, was born just 3 months ago now. It's a responsibility.
Of course, yes, yes. You write a good deal of music, I suppose, Monsieur Berlioz.
Oh, sir, if you please. Quite a good deal, Monsieur Carver.
Well, I don't know much about such things. Your name was simply passed on to me by a colleague as suitable to the employment.
I see.
You will work on your Requiem consistently between now and March?
I shall devote to it whatever work it requires.
Astonishing to me, you can find time to fit it all in.
I'm sorry.
Well, so many other things to do, one would have thought. I mean, what do you do for a living, Monsieur Berlioz?
Hector, my dear, I need a little more money this morning. I was passing through the market yesterday and saw a bolt of cloth that was just what I wanted for little Louis's room, so I bought it there and then. But of course that leaves us without food for today. I can have a little more, my darling, can't I? You understand.
Well, how should I know what happened to the money? It was only 10 francs, hardly a fortune. Really, Hector, I don't know what's come over you lately. I manage as well as I can on what you give me. But there are things I have to buy for the child, things for mother. Perhaps you should provide a little better instead of always complaining that I can't make ends meet. It's not enough! 20 francs is simply not enough! The apartment, Louis, mother, not to mention my own needs. How am I to live on the money you let me have? You don't make enough. You're out of date. Revolutionary art, or whatever you call it, isn't the thing anymore. Ever since those bomb attacks on the king outside the opera, people think revolutionaries are no more than...
Harriet, stop nagging at me, for God's sake. Can't you see that I'm trying to get this work finished?
What comes first in your life, your work or me?
If I don't work, I can hardly care for you.
And if you do work, you don't care for me well enough. No, oh, you're a failure, Hector Berlioz. You're not half as clever as you think you are. You certainly took me in. Oh, dear, how you took me in.
What is going on? What's happening to us? We were happy, I thought. But lately...
I could have continued my career. I could have been the toast of Paris again.
Rubbish.
Making out you couldn't live without me. Pretending to commit suicide. It's a pity you didn't succeed.
You're simply jealous of me because I continue to enjoy a little success, whereas you dropped into professional obscurity.
Lies.
I love you, Harriet. I want to give you my love.
Coward. Failure.
Stop it. Do you hear me? If you don't stop it, I swear I'll... Stop. Stop at once.
Mademoiselle Riccio, for the love of the Virgin Mother, can't you hear you're off the note?
But, Monsieur Berlioz, I was singing my very best.
Well, your very best leaves something to be desired, I'm afraid. You'll never be a soloist. Oh, dear me. It's flattering, no doubt, that you should want to sing my Requiem. But if you honestly can't tell when you're singing flat...
Oh, perhaps with tuition, I might improve.
Tuition?
I do so wish to be a fine singer, Monsieur Berlioz, to sing great music like yours. If you could spare just a little time to instruct me, a little time each day.
Each day? Goodness me, Mademoiselle Recchio.
Oh, wouldn't you find it worthwhile, Monsieur? Perhaps even, who knows, rewarding?
Thank you.
Monsieur Berlioz, you were satisfied with the performance of your requiem? Despite what the newspapers said?
The newspapers merely said what they always say of a new Berlioz work, Monsieur Carver, that it cannot be categorized and it is too difficult for the orchestra.
Yet Monsieur Abneck of the opera conducted the requiem, did he not? The performance ought to have been effective.
Abneck barely studied the work beforehand. And at a particular point of difficulty, he laid down his baton and took snuff. If I hadn't been there to jump in and cue the brass, it could have been a disaster.
Indeed. Well, I don't imagine it could be called a success by any stretch of the imagination. Perhaps the whole thing was a mistake.
I beg your pardon.
Well, the effect on the public has not been at all what was expected, monsieur. You did rather lay on the sound and fury, did you not?
I interpreted the theme as I felt was correct.
Yes, but that special platform you caused to be erected at the Invalides.
Yes, yes. So that the massed chorus might see the conductor for once.
Well, it cost a good deal, you know. Overall, in fact, expense in general is causing a certain heart-searching. The minister is not pleased.
Art should be permitted to cost at least what sanitation does, monsieur.
Really? Who would have said so? But I doubt if we spent as much on our last extension to the sewers as we did on your platform. Was there anything further, Monsieur Berlioz?
One small matter, I believe, Monsieur Carver. I have not yet received my fee.
Your fee?
It was agreed that for composing the requiem, I should be paid the sum of 3,000 francs. That money is not yet forthcoming.
Ah, yes, 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 indeed. Oh, very well, I'll have a word with the paymaster general next week. I don't doubt something can be squeezed out.
Squeezed out? Something.
As I explained, expenses have been a good deal higher than was expected. You really must understand.
But I have fulfilled my commission, and I have not been paid.
Well, if you wish to put it like that.
Well, how else am I expected to put it?
The thing has not been a success. You must accept your share of the responsibility for that. I quite failed to say.
Now, listen to me, you dull-witty little civil servant, you crapulous time server.
I beg your pardon.
You unthinking vegetable, you member of the public.
How dare you?
Of the arts, of beauty, of truth. I was born to turn the minds of unhappy mortals away from fetid sewers and penny-pinching to the very heights of human understanding, to ecstasy, to holiness, to love. Is that not worth a pittance at least? Is there a man in Paris would deny me bread when I have reached him joy?
That's right! Give him his money! Give it to him!
You stick to your guns, Hector!
Chabanel! Monsieur! Of course you understand!
So do all right-thinking men,
oh,
Hector!
Paris!
Give him your support now!
Solidly Paris. Behind the artist in his battle against the money changers!
I am carried to the mountain tops. The fixed idea will triumph. Art and revolution will marry on high. Come contempt, misunderstanding, victimization. The revolutionary artist will survive. What can strike him down when he wields beauty as a sword? What black night can engulf him when he lights up the stars?
Fidelios. Oh, Monsieur Berlioz, you are magnificent.
Mademoiselle Requiem, you understand too.
I understand, Monsieur Hector. My understanding will follow you wherever you go, to the depths, to the heights, to triumph.
dear Hector, why? Why must you steal away on the first coach of the day like this? I'd hoped to show you Leipzig today.
There will be another occasion, my dear Felix. I shall be back this way, you know. My conducting tour takes me as far across Europe as Hungary, and then back over the same path.
But I still don't understand.
Oh, Felix, cherished friend. The unhappy
all
fact...
All aboard! Coach for Prague! Midpay.
There, the coach. I must take my seat.
Not until you tell me why you are acting in this extraordinary fashion. There's something, well, furtive about you.
Furtive?
No other word.
Well, can you wonder, Felix? Under the cloud for my politics these days, my music booed.
What are you talking about? Your concert last night was cheered to the echo.
I meant in France. Benvenuto Cellini was performed just before I left. In fact, its reception very largely persuaded me to leave. I'm in Paris, and it is vengeful as well as philistine. Do you know this fellow, Wagner?
Well, I haven't met him, but his work is quite brilliant.
It's everywhere, too. Yet there's no philosophy of revolution in it, Felix. I wish I knew why. That worries me so. I need a new theme. Something to blind my critics. Something that
Hector!
Will...
Hector! Oh, Hector, are you there?
God, she's followed me. Behind the horses, Felix. Quickly.
What?
The horses.
Hector! Hector!
Oh, I thought I got out of the hotel before she was awake.
This woman... Now, Hector, I've been meaning to speak to you about this. I say it is a scandal the way you drag this woman about Europe with you, this mademoiselle.
Now, Ekio. But why do you say that I'm dragging her about Europe?
Well, your wife and son are still in Paris. Everybody knows it. It is therefore quite improper.
Oh, my poor wife. We haven't lived together for a very long time, Felix. And she only has to see me to scream at me. I don't think she's completely sane.
I am deeply sorry, Hector, but nonetheless...
Now, this woman, she's simply unavoidable. I cannot get rid of her, Felix. For a time, almost a whole year, I managed to escape. Once more, she follows me wherever I go. And she sinks flat into the bargain.
Yes, yes, I've certainly noticed
all
that.
All aboard! All aboard!
I'll see you in a month or so, Felix.
It's ridiculous to go like this, Hector. It's undignified.
Hector! Are you there among the passengers? Hector! Oh, Herr Mendelssohn. Oh, that proves it. Hector is here.
Mademoiselle, please, people are looking.
He's going to Hungary. Well, I can go to Hungary, too. He has to give a concert with Franz Liszt.
Mademoiselle, restrain yourself.
I will be there. I will not let him go, and I will sing.
Oh, no, no, Mademoiselle, not that. Do not sing in Hungary. They are a musical people.
Marvelous, Hector, a triumph. You have stolen the heart of Budapest.
Well, that from the great Franz Liszt.
The great Franz Liszt nonsense. Franz Liszt isn't half the musician his friend Hector Berlioz is.
Oh.
Here, have some champagne.
No, please, I
come
think
on,
I...
Come on, you're in Hungary now. Magyar hospitality. I'm thinking of entering the church at long last. Had you heard? Taking orders.
Oh.
And what are you working on at the moment, Hector?
It's in my mind to start work on a music drama after this tour.
Music drama? Well...
Well, no, not after the manner of your son-in-law, Richard Wagner.
Brilliant work, Hector, brilliant work.
Yes, of course, but... Well, I was thinking...
Champagne, your glasses, I'm...
No, please.
Oh, just a little more. Long time since we met.
What I was thinking of was the Trojans.
The Trojans?
After Virgil. A people who, under guidance from the gods, set out across unknown seas to form a new nation with a new heart. A true revolutionary theme.
A very big subject. You don't think... Oh, my God, that woman of yours, she can't even laugh in key, can she?
I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry I know that, Hector, but if there's one thing I know about, apart from music and religion, it's women, you know? Oh, yes, and I've been meaning to speak to you. This Marie Grecchia.
Grecchio.
Now, you've no reason to stand there and insult poor Marie. Now,
who's insulting her? I simply started to
say... She does her best, doesn't she? She's devoted and loyal.
Horses are devoted and loyal.
Now you've called her a horse.
I did not.
I heard you distinctly.
What's the matter here? What's going on?
This man called you a horse.
Oh!
Just because you bray like an ass.
I do not bray like an ass.
Oh, yes, you do. Now, let's have no argument about that. You bray like an ass. I've heard some rather exceptional asses in my time, and you bray like the least musical of them.
Hector, are you going to let him speak to me like that?
I take those remarks back.
Are you threatening me?
Well, none of y'all. I mean, good laughing key, as I remember. One of them even sang in a deep baritone.
That is a monstrous calumny.
Well, so people said. Wrote books under the man's name, too. Daniel Stern. She shaved.
It's too much. I demand satisfaction.
No!
Name your weapons.
Pistols, the somersault woods and door.
Oh!
My seconds will attend you, sir.
Help! Help! They're going to fight over me. Oh, can nothing be done? Will nobody stop them?
The combatants will stand back to back, weapons raised to the approved position, looking neither to right nor left. On the word of command, they will proceed 10 paces in opposite directions, and on the completion of the 10th pace, but not before, will turn and fire. Are there any questions?
Can't they be stopped? Oh, please don't make me guilty of their blood.
Be quiet, Marie.
Yes, be quiet, Marie.
But what shall I do if you're killed, Hector? What will become of me?
Are the combatants ready?
Ready.
Oh, no, no!
March. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9... 10. The combatant List would seem to have collapsed from the backfire of his pistol. The combatant Berlioz has walked into a ditch. One ball was discharged in the general direction of the heavens, the other towards the Austrian border. I pronounce the duel completed and the seconds dismissed.
Absurd. Humiliating. Sometimes everything about you seems ridiculous, Hector Berlioz.
Ridiculous.
Laughable. A stupid joke.
Look, Mari, please, at least lower the key to a gentle B-flat. For some reason or other, I don't feel entirely myself this morning.
Do you? Do you want me to go away, Hector?
I beg your pardon.
Well, I'm not a fool. It hasn't been much of a success, has it? You and me, I mean. Oh, I thrust myself on you. I've only myself to blame. But all along, you see, I thought... If you want me to go, I will, Hector. Back to Paris, out of your life.
Aye.
Beg pardon, Monsieur Berlioz.
Rose.
There's a message for you.
Thank you.
Not at all, Monsieur.
I'm serious, truly. They just haven't been good years, the years we've spent together. I've blinded myself to the fact too long because I needed to be near you.
Oh, my God.
Hector, what's wrong? Is it bad news?
It's Harriet.
Your wife?
She's been taken seriously ill. I must return to Paris. Immediately. Guard. Guard.
Yes, monsieur.
What's that sound out in the streets? Rifle fire.
Oh, it's the mob, monsieur.
What mob, man? I've just this moment arrived from Hungary. Now, tell me what's going on.
A while ago, I heard the mob had clashed with the troops outside the Hotel de Ville.
Then the revolution has revived yet again. Paris
He's at the barricades once more.
The only barricade I can see is this one right here, monsieur, which you don't get past without showing your ticket, as required by company regulation.
Yes, yes, I am here on rather different business, it's true. Business that can't wait, even for the revolution. My ticket, monsieur. Side, my dear, where I belong, where I should have been all through your illness. But I didn't know about it. Why didn't you let me know before?
I can't see you properly, Hector. Is it so late? Have they drawn the curtains?
No, Harriet, of course the curtains aren't drawn. It's late. Yes, quite late. You must have been sleeping.
Sleeping. Dr. Vernet came earlier.
He's a fine physician, Harriet. He'll soon have you well again.
He went away and came back with Father Columba.
No.
You remember Father Columba? The Capuchin friar? Oh, you. You with your grand disbelief. Father Columba is Irish and so am I.
Oh, Harriet. Harriet, my beloved. I've neglected you so. I've brought you to this.
It's been so long. How many years is it now? But I'm to blame if anyone is. I rejected your love, Hector. Remember?
No, no, you didn't. I was unbearable towards you.
I was always afraid of your love, I think. You never guessed that, did you? Afraid of love itself, perhaps. Years ago, when they cheered me in the theatre, I was afraid of that too. There now. Of all that love. Do you understand at last?
Stop saying these things, Harriet. Did you want to break my heart?
You must look after Louis, our son. It's been hard for him growing up without you. He's almost a young man.
God. If there is a God, spare her. Take me.
Love. It's all love one sees in the end. Too late. Too late.
Harriet. Oh, nymph. In thy innocence be all my sins remembered. From her unpolluted flesh may violets spring. Alas, the fair.
Hector? Hector, my dear. Yes, it's me again, Murray. I came in just to clean up a bit. You can't simply go on sitting here, you know, saying nothing, doing nothing. I understand it was her you loved, Harriet, not me, but you can't die too, my dear. Some food. Would you eat some food if I prepared it for you, Hector? Things are at sixes and sevens in Paris now, truly. Nobody seems to know what's happened. The mob has been turned back for the second time. Louis Napoleon is going to be proclaimed president. I don't know if you truly want me here or not, Hector, but I can't stay away. Not while you're like this. Please, let me just try and...
Estelle.
What? What did you say, Hector?
Of course. It's perfectly clear now what I must do.
Yes, monsieur?
Madame Fournier.
Yes.
Estelle.
I beg your pardon, monsieur.
You are the lady who was once Estelle Dubœuf of La Côte Saint-André, who knew the Berlioz family.
Why?
Are you that lady?
I remember Dr. Berlioz. Yes, he was the village physician. But I don't think I...
I am Hector Berlioz.
Hector Berlioz?
Dear God, it's taken me so long to find you still. An impossible search. It was the sheerest chance. In the end, I found a notary in Grenoble who remembered your husband. He told me that you'd come to live here, in Geneva. Your husband is now dead, I believe.
Yes, monsieur, these 5 years.
My wife is dead, too.
I see. Do sit down. Hector Berlioz. Yes. Yes, of course. It's beginning to come back to me now. I was quite friendly with one of your sisters for a time, I think. Louise, wasn't
it? We all knew you, Estelle. Loved you.
Loved me? Well, wasn't there... You'll forgive me, monsieur, but wasn't there a particular member of your family who turned out... Well, a little unusually, went to Paris to study medicine, I seem to recall, but instead took up...
Music.
That's right, of course. Music, yes, I remember the talk at the time.
I am that unusual member of the family, Estelle. I took up music and have been a composer of music for some 25 years now.
Oh, well, again, you'll forgive me, monsieur, but my husband was a man of the law, you know, not much interested in the arts. Between us, in fact, we hardly ever...
But you're dancing. Surely you still dance.
I beg your pardon.
You used to dance like an angel. Once, surely, you remember it. We danced together, you and I.
Why, I'm sure. Of course.
We swung round and round as though we'd danced together all our lives. As though we were born to dance together, Estelle. You said we should dance right over the high hills to Paris, to the world beyond.
Yes, well, one gets carried away on such occasions, no doubt. But I'm forgetting my manners. Would you like some wine, monsieur?
Hector. For God's sake, call me Hector, Estelle.
My dear monsieur.
But don't you remember, how we danced?
Monsieur, monsieur, if you please. I'm just a poor widow these days. I have 3 grown sons, the last of whom married 18 months ago. I have 4 grandchildren. Now...
Please, please. My son is a grown young man, too, an able cadet. But I remember every twirl, every twist of that dance. It was love. Don't you see? The first, the definitive experience. Everything else since has been a pale shadow. I love you, Estelle. I have sought you out to declare my love.
Oh!
Your radiant smile. I see it still. The line of your body under the white dress. What happened to that dress? And you haven't got, oh God. You couldn't have.
What, monsieur?
The pink. The pink boots.
Monsieur Berlioz, I am very sorry that you find yourself distressed. Inasmuch as I seem to have something to do with it, I can only apologize. Did I say something, do something in those days that has had, well, an unfortunate influence on you? Am I to blame for some lifelong unhappiness of yours?
No, Estelle. No. Forgive me, I've misled you. The simple fact is that in the end, the absurd triumphs. Yes, there is something ridiculous about Hector Berlioz. There always will be, his life, his work. I mean, what does it amount to but the antics of a clown?
Dear me. Yet, if you've achieved great things in the world of music...
I have achieved nothing in the world of music. I am a laughing stock in the world of music. Foolish old Hector Berlioz with his mad ideas, his romantic notions. Will you marry me, Estelle?
What?
Will you be my wife?
Certainly not. Goodness me, what a notion.
Well, I thought it might be a solution.
I'm 60 years old this year. Did you realize that? Hector.
60?
Yes.
What happened to our lives, Estelle? Where did they go?
Mine has been quite a happy life, thank you very much. Now, we're old friends, Hector, and it's good for old friends just to sit and talk. So we'll take some wine, and you shall have a piece of cake I baked this morning. I'm expecting my eldest son and his family later in the day, you see. Perhaps if you stay long enough, you'll meet them.
I'd like to be alone just
but
now.
You mustn't take any notice of that reception. It's great music, Hector. The Trojans is your greatest work.
You assure me of it, do you?
Well, don't you think so yourself? Don't you know it?
It was a bad production. Carelessly thrown together.
Oh.
Standards, you see. The familiar low standards of Paris. There was supposed to be a waterfall in the second scene. That was that burst of water that drenched the chorus and caused most of them to run off stage pleading for mercy. And musically, I would have said the execution was atrocious. Missed notes, missed cues, even a couple of instrumentalists missing. They were drunk, I understand, as indeed I should have been.
Hector, please.
And what did it all mean to that crowd in there, anyway? That mindless mob who were once Frenchmen. Louis Napoleon, appointed president of the Republic, is now Napoleon III, King Emperor. Did you know that my son had died? Yes. I received the notification 2 days ago of yellow fever. He was in Panama.
Oh, for the love of God, Hector, why didn't you tell me? I'm your wife now. I've the right to know terrible things like that.
Dead. Harriet's child. My son. Dead as the revolution. Oh, yes, what you heard in there tonight was its death throes, Marie. What you might have seen was its grinning corpse somewhere in the heart of the hatred and confusion.
Why didn't you tell me about Louis? It's my business, my duty to care for you now.
Oh, please, Marie, this time, let me alone.
Hector? Hector, my dear.
Alone?
It's not fair. I only want to love you. But you won't let me. You must help me to love you, Hector. Help me care for you.
My God in heaven.
Here. Oh, what happened?
That man, he fell down.
Monsieur, you all right?
My heart.
Something in trouble there?
Ah. Gendarme, thank goodness. This man collapsed. His heart, he says.
Give me a hand then.
Where will you take him?
Oh, just across the road there. Hospice de la Pitié. Don't worry, monsieur. You fell down right outside the hospital.
No, not the Hospice de la Pitié.
Get his legs then. I've got them.
Not the charnel house.
Here!
He's breaking free. He's struggling.
I will not go to the Hospice de la Pitié. My God, this is where I began. In this damnable city, but it's not where I'll end.
Monsieur, you're very ill. Now, you stay quiet.
No, I will not end among the Philistines. No. The money changes. Do you understand? And you feel, any of you, if the soul were anything nobler than francs across the counter and onions in the loft, can you stay on the note?
What's he talking about? Look, we're trying to help you. Let us.
No, don't touch me. Leave me. Very well. It's the last battle, but I will not concede the victory until it is wrenched from me. I will not perish
will outstand it. The revolution is not dead. The fixed idea is not an illusion. It will rise from the ashes. It will triumph.
Oh, monsieur, I beg of you, be still. You're killing yourself.
Killing myself. Ah, I've done that from the beginning, madame. But for what reason? Vanity. Wretched stupidity. Or could it be? Perhaps, after all...
Yes, monsieur. Yes.
For love, madame. In spite of everything. For love.
Hector's Fixed Idea by Bruce Stewart, Hector Berlioz was played by Dinsdale Landon. Harriet was Elizabeth Bell, Mary Recchio, Carol Boyd, Camille, Kate Coleridge, the young Estelle, Penelope Reynolds, and the old Estelle, Irene Sutcliffe. Rossini was Peter Woodthorpe, Liszt, Clive Swift, Mendelssohn, Neville Jason, Habneck, William Edel, Le Sieur, Timothy Bateson, and Pleyel, Malcolm Hayes. Nanette was Anne Rosenfeld. Charbonnel was Alaric Cotter. Ciccolini, Michael Goldie, and the instructor, Bruce Beebe. Hector's Fixed Idea was directed by John Theocharis.